We're hooked up in turn two and still showing the green flag on the front stretch.
Hi, this is David Hyatt, president of Iowa Speedway. Get your tickets for the U.S. Cellular 250 at iowaspeedway.com. We'll see you at the fastest short track on the planet.
Welcome back to the front stretch, rolling into turn number two, and it's time to have a conversation with a local dirt racer that's racing the Malvern Bank Super Late Model Series and the Super Late Model Series at I-80 Speedway. I got too many tracks running around in my head just today, and I don't have all my wits with me, which is...
Well, standard equipment, sorry.
Worse than normal, though, is the tough thing. It's worse than normal today. But anyways, Ben Schaller joining us, driving the number 98 Super Late Model throughout the area. Good to see you, bud.
How's it going?
Oh, it's always awesome. Love having you on the show. Love being able to chit-chat with you, and you're always a good interview, so...
I try.
Sometimes it helps if you don't, though.
Yeah, that's very true.
Then we get those little sneaky things out of the way.
Well, that's why he's got a can of Monster and not a can of adult beverage with
him. That's right. Then it's, you know, kind of early.
It's
afternoon.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
We talked to you on Thursday night. So, by the way, those of you who are listening on a Sunday morning, Ben's not an alcoholic. We're not alcoholics, although I probably could be in recovery, especially after talking with Adam Gullion, like we hinted in turn number one. But anyways, leading in the Malvern Bank Super Late Model Series, one win on the season, 5 top 5s, 8 top 10s in 8 features. You've got an 8-point lead over Kyle Burke, who is coming on really strong right now.
Yeah, it seems though he must have found something that is working well in his car, and they've definitely came on the last few races here, and we've been staying pretty consistent and just trying to change little things here and there because we haven't really been that far off. Obviously, there's a few tenths here and there that we need to make up, but yeah, he's found something.
Well, if you're going to try and stretch that lead out, this would be the weekend. Hopefully that maybe it happened. I mean, again, we're talking on Thursday, and they got 2 races this weekend. But I don't know if you'd heard yet or not, but Kyle had a fire at the...
I did see that on Facebook half an hour ago or something like that.
Yeah. So. Probably took his focus a little bit away for the weekend.
Yeah, him and fire these last couple of years have not been the best of friends.
No. You know, it's kind of a good time of the year to do it if you're trying to find a silver lining in anything, because your farm equipment is kind of sitting as you're just waiting for the stuff to grow and mature and be ready to be picked. So not a bad time for it to happen because you don't need it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if there's any good thing about it, it's not like you're in the middle of harvest or anything like that.
Or planning.
Can you help me out here? And I don't want to get anybody in any trouble, but I heard of some stuff that was going on down at Lakeside Speedway and over at Adams County Speedway with some drivers unhappy with Kyle or some rules to do with Kyle. Can you maybe shed some light on what was going on?
I don't believe the rules were specifically aimed at Kyle. I do know that there's a particular engine builder, and some of the way the rules were worded left some gray area.
Okay.
And us being racers, the gray area is the funnest place to play.
Well.
So this the engine combination basically is what the big discussion was about, just due to the amount of horsepower that would be possible with that, with certain changes to basically valve spacing and heads.
Okay.
So it wasn't specifically Kyle Burke's engine that, you know, was in question. It was, is this okay? We asked, and, you know, my dad always asks before we build anything if that's going to happen, is this okay? Is this not okay? And the way that we had it interpreted was, oh, this isn't okay at that time. And things kind of got switched around to where, you know, we're going to throw some weight on and, you know, like Joe usually does. You know, we'll try to make it as equal as we can. We'll change some restrictors here and there. So
it's the thing that I find the most fascinating when drivers don't like something, and for some reason, maybe I just don't have enough experience in this sport, but Joe and Lisa seem to catch a lot of flack for playing favoritism. And in the 3-4 years I've worked at I-80, I God honest can tell you that those that they are closest to as drivers usually get the most scrutiny.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I talk back and forth to Andrew all the time, and I did before we end up having the same chassis, and I would not want to be in those shoes because he has no option to really even play in the gray area.
Right.
He's, you know, he needs to be by the rules 100% all the time, and not only that, he has probably one of the hardest judges, which is his dad, right behind him, being like, well, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? So. I don't envy that position.
Right.
I mean, they're all really nice people, and they do the best they can.
Well, Derek, we talked about this with NASCAR. There was an entire page left out of the NASCAR rule book one year at Daytona, and a Truck Series team found it and exploited it, and NASCAR made them suffer for it, I think is the best way to put it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they had them every part that bolted onto their truck for six races, no matter where they finished, was unbolded after the race.
They saw pictures
of it from some of my tech buddies, yeah, you know, yeah. And NASCAR, you know, and they've always been like that. You know, I was at a race with Brendan Gaughan, won a race one time with what was deemed a nose. It got through tech because it was legal, mm-hmm. if you quote that, legal by the rule at that time, but not within the intent of the rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he went through that same process. He was teched, and like two races later, he was teched for the next six races. He crashed out like the fourth lap of the race. They were in the hauler and ready to leave, and they were like, oh, no. Yeah. You guys got to go to teardown.
I have heard about the big series, and this was years and years ago, where it's still a little bit of an old boys club,
mm-hmm.
where if you might get a little bit more one way or another if you're, you know, in with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
but they obviously, you know, can't do that.
And you're talking about, well, like, are you talking about like the Lucas Oil in the World of Outlaw series?
No, I'm talking about NASCAR
Cup Series
stuff.
Or okay. something.
Bring it back around to what we were talking about with, and I don't necessarily want to make it sound like Kyle. Because, unfortunately, I just talked to this with Adam Gullion. When you're found to have something that doesn't conform to the rule book, you're not necessarily cheating because you have found a little something, that gray area that we talked about. So to balance that out, you said that the series is going to make him run a little bit more weight?
It was another 25 pounds on the motor plate, and they changed the restrictor size.
Okay.
So,
and the to not change this is saving teams a little bit of money because,
well, the only alternative would be to take that motor out, take it apart, change the heads, you know, and unless they have someone mm-hmm. like unlike me, which I'm fortunate to have a motor builder, unless they have that situation, that's going to cost them having someone to pull them off. They have to send them to him, or the other guy has to come up here, put them on. And then you run into it. I mean, it's just...
It's a big bill.
Yeah, it opens up a box of worms, too. I mean, motors are, especially with the way that, you know, they're machined, they're touchy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's not too hard to accidentally get something someplace, and all of a sudden the whole thing gets destroyed. So.
Well, and Kyle, obviously, you know, the engine builder, mm-hmm. you know, actually... Kyle said, well, here's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyle doesn't build his own engines. Mm-hmm. So I know he's changed engine builders. He's had several over the years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the engine builder looked at the rules and built the motor,
yeah.
you know. And if Joe has put a weight penalty and stuff on here and changed the restrictor size, he's trying to deal with it mm-hmm. instead of making Kyle go out and spend $20,000-$30,000 to...
Which I know is a big thing that Joe doesn't want to do. He wants to make this the most economically efficient series available.
Yeah, I mean, our stuff, economically efficient, is kind of up to interpretation as well. But the one thing that I mean... Yeah, there's going to be motors that are going to have advantages and disadvantages, but I can honestly say that there hasn't been a race that I've won and or lost due to strictly horsepower.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not drag racers. We're on dirt. Get a track that's super slick and dusty. You could have 9,000 horsepower.
It's not going to do you look good.
It's going to be a detriment, mm-hmm. if anything else.
And you talked about consistency. I think back to last year where you were in a points battle at I-80 Speedway with Tad Pospisil. You won more races, but you had more issues, and he ended up winning the championship.
Yeah, that was I had a lot of lost cars is what happened last year. So so we kind of had to start over two or three, a couple different times. And, yeah, and the thing with Tad, he was super consistent, didn't win anything, but I don't think he really had anything outside maybe a seventh mm-hmm. all year.
Yeah.
And I had, going into the last night with the points lead, I think I had a 16th place or something like that in there. And it's like, if I would have just finished top 10 someplace
that night,
then mm-hmm. I would have had, you know, either been in the points lead or really close to it.
What does that do for you in the off season? Do you go back and look over everything for a second time, for a third time? You make sure the bolts are tightened to the right pressure.
They do that every week. Yeah. That is the off season. That's a weekly deal.
That's pretty normal. No, it's we kind of looked at our season, obviously look and see where you could make things better and what things you think you can improve on, you know, whether it be, you know, trying a little bit something different with the shocks or, you know, springs or, you know, trying a different manufacturer for your chassis, anything like that. So,
yeah.
And that's, we kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, let's try a little bit you know, try a different chassis manufacturer and see what we learn from that. Never had any issue with Kyle's cars. They're always built well, obviously. And it was just one of those deals, like, you can't beat your head against the wall doing the same thing all the time and learn anything. So might as well try something that's outside your comfort level.
I kind of equate a chassis to a driver in that relationship a lot like dating. Like, you can date a person for a long time and it just doesn't work. Doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make them a bad person. It just didn't work. You know, and it could be the same thing with a driver and a chassis. Kyle can build the best chassis in the world and everybody else can go out there and win with it. Just doesn't fit your driving style, the way you like to do these little things that make you a great driver, and so it's time to go check out a different place.
Yeah, and it was just a deal where we thought, for specific styles of tracks, that we tried different things and just could not get the car to work on those style of tracks. There were certain styles of tracks where we were lights out fast and you know, no issues whatsoever. So we kind of tried, when we were thinking about getting the new MB, I was like, well, here's the questions we need to ask, and what adjustments are you guys making on these? And, you know, going through the process, like, well, we'll try this one out and we should be able to figure it out pretty quick, you know, whether we think it's going to work or not. So
I love you saying that you're going to try it out, because I'm equating it in my mind as like buying a house. Like, hey, there's a $150,000 house. I'm going to try it out for a couple of months and see if I like it. Yeah, maybe I don't like the neighbors and I'll just move again.
The one really nice thing about the MB Customs car is that, like, economically wise, they were the least costly out of. Well,
definitely wasn't. I hope it wasn't 150.
No. But it honestly was about, you know, $20,000 less than a Longhorn or a Black Diamond.
Well, I was going to say, I know one of the recent Black Diamonds that came into the area, I, you know the people that were on that one, and I mean, I heard the price tag on it was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're also leading in the Gales Gold Rush. Excuse me, you're second in the Gales Gold Rush to Bill Layton Jr. Mm-hmm. What a fun little series that has exploded in the last two seasons.
Yeah, it forces you to go to the track more than once, which is nice. I mean, obviously it makes things even busier with, you know, if you are trying to do weekly and the SLMR and all that stuff. It is cool. I mean, I always like going to different tracks and stuff like that. So
yeah, Knoxville eligible drivers. I see you in there. So you're going to be headed to Knoxville for that September 15th race.
Yep, that's the plan. I haven't been there. And
you guys race on the 13th, right? That Thursday? Or do you? No, you race as a support
preliminary
series. For
it's a support deal, yep.
For the Saturday night race, right?
Yeah, correct.
That just figures. See, the
I believe, there's like a Gales Gold Rush.
You can always hope for a tornado over here.
Shelby before there, so.
Yeah, the company that I sell for booked a big event that day a month ago. So after we booked our hotel rooms, made our plans to go to Knoxville Nationals for the late model Nationals, I'm like, well, I can't go now. So
that'll be about like when I won the points championship.
That'll be
my trophy in person. So.
That's true. And see, you had a good video though.
I've got Nebraska football tickets that day, but that game's at 11:00.
I should be able to make it.
I think I can.
He'll make it. He'll get one of those 9,000 horsepower engines.
There you go.
I'll just fire up the corporate copter and.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that. The Joe's Karting copter. That's going to be a really cool race. I think we talked to you about it with the last time. That'd be a really awesome race to win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously to get us there and just to even put us. I mean, I assume there's going to be dirt under coverage of us as well as, you know, the Lucas Oil guys. But, you know, it's a good thing just to be able to get in front of that kind of crowd. And, you know, that track's that's a different beast.
Yeah.
So
are you taking over two cars for that weekend?
We can't. We have to run either the Malvern Bank series or the Lucas Oil series. We can't do Lucas Oil and both. Malvern Bank.
Not even with two cars?
Nope.
Are they going to do the same thing for the Silver Dollar Nationals?
The Go 50, you can do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you could race the Go 50 for $10,000 and then the Malvern Bank race later that night. Mm-hmm. Are you going to maybe try that?
Yeah, we're going to take both of our cars.
You might as well try it for $10,000. I mean,
absolutely.
We're like, I talked to Andrew pretty often. He's like, yeah, I'm going to use the same car. I'm like, I know I had to look at him. I'm like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're going to pull the spacer off, change your tires in between one heat to the next heat, and time trials and whatever, man. Enjoy that.
He's kind of crazy. He'll do it. But,
well, he has two cars, so that's why I don't understand.
Can you think of a bigger 3 days of racing in this area?
No.
I mean, it's...
No, it'll be... I, you know, hopefully it's not 5,000 degrees, but I already planned on it.
You're already hydrating.
You know, really, I mean, exactly. You could typically plan on middle to end of July being hot, but I know it's the weather, so it's unpredictable. But this year alone, we've had winter went into summer, came back to spring, back into summer for several weeks, back into spring, and now we're kind of in this middle point where it was spring at the beginning of the week with a lot of rain and cooler temperatures, and now it's blazing hot at the end of the week.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's just kind of this area of the country. You know, hopefully we don't get snow. That's about all we could hope. Really,
snowmobile
hope
races. There we go.
That would be interesting.
That one will be big. I obviously hope the weather cooperates so we don't have any of the wet stuff, just so we can get all of it off. Mm-hmm. And I think this year's turnout's going to be really crazy because I don't know if I heard this correctly, but I don't think there's even a conflicting World Outlaw.
No, there's not. They're not running that race. Can you imagine going 3 for 3 that weekend, taking home 10,000 for the Go 50, 5,300 for the Malvern Bank, and then 53,000 for the Silver Dollar Nationals.
I might have to take a couple days off.
Well,
to recover.
I mean, the way it sounds, it doesn't sound like Blomquist is going to be here racing because he's talking about going ahead and doing his shoulder
surgery by then.
But you know, here's the thing about Blomquist.
So you're definitely in
the
ball game now.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be too surprised if Weiss wasn't in that car or Landers.
Oh, he said somebody's going to be in it.
Scott Blomquist. I don't care what he says.
He'll be present.
You don't believe it until you actually see pictures of him in a sling or something. Even then, I mean, he's the kind of a crazy guy that loves to mess with people. He would take pictures of his arm in a sling and in surgery and post-op, and then he'd show up at the race 2 days later. Oh, I healed that fast.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true.
So we're going to have to wait and see.
If he does that, then I'm going to think maybe he did or he would have failed that drug test. If he heals that fast, I'm going to, yeah.
Well, from what I heard, he did submit all of his medical stuff from when he went to the hospital and then just got randomly drug pulled the next time out.
Yeah.
So, for what it's worth.
When you don't show up to the drug test.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to.
It's tough to deny that there's something's going on, you know, because it leaves an avenue. Anyways, we're talking about you here. Ben Schaller, driver of the number 98 super late model. A lot of great sponsors on the side of that car.
Yeah, have Steve's Yard Care, Hens Chiropractic, Dave's Home Repair, Fleetmark Solutions, Schaller Racing Engines and Shocks, my buddy Justin for Sutter Family Racing. We're very fortunate to have people that, you know, not only give us money but support what we do too. So
very clean operation too. I think that you guys are kind of on the higher end of the kind of well, I don't know how to say, because then it makes it sound bad for a lot of other people. But you know, dirt racing is it's a dirty event, and you know, you got a lot of dirty haulers and a lot of things that are thrown together. But I think you guys have got one of the more professional operations. You're at the track early. You're prepped and always ready to go. You may not always have it right every time, but you guys seem to have a very professional operation.
Well, as far as being to the track early, that's just something that we started. You know, when I was a small child in go-karts, when we were there 5 hours earlier than everyone else. And I know it's probably a little bit of anxiety on Dad's part to get there and everything. Mm-hmm. And then that just, you know, manifested in me being anxious unless we're there, you know, early enough to make sure we're not scrambling to get out there.
Well, that's your habit.
Yeah.
Well, and
comfort zone.
I always try to compare things to my life. Whenever I would do a radio show and I would show up 5 minutes before the microphone was turned on, it would be a terrible show because you're rushed. You can't stop and think about things. Mm-hmm. But when you've got that half hour, 45 minutes for me to be able to sit down and kind of think about what I want to talk about and plan ahead, it's a much cleaner show.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it gives us time to get everything where it needs to be. So if for some odd reason I do tear a nose off the thing, then it makes it, you know, these tools are here. Mm-hmm. You need to go grab those.
Yep.
Here's where everything is.
Well, I wish we could look into the future and know how you did last night, but we'll say best of luck throughout the rest of the season. I really do hope you hold off, Kyle, and you can get your first Malvern Bank Super Late Model win.
It makes two
championship.
Of us. That makes two of us.
Because you already got a win on the year.
I was going to say, he hadn't have a win? Come on.
You can see him weekly at I-80 Speedway when the Supers are in action in the number 98 machine. Always do appreciate having you, bud.
Thank you.
We'll be back here on the Front Stretch.